Hear ye, hear ye. Harmontown is now in session. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Nerd Melt Theater in Hollywood, California. And you listening out in podcast land, thank you for joining us. Please, won't you all, either physically or spiritually, put your hands together for the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Thank you. Are you going to be trouble tonight, Pink Hair?
No, I'm not. I promise.
All right. Met Pink Hair in line.
I parked here earlier to go meet some friends.
You pulled me a kiss.
Well, yeah, because you screamed at me, and I was terrified.
That's not your reaction.
I blew you a kiss because I was afraid for my own safety.
That's your reaction. Like, you blew me a kiss.
Well, what's your name, for fuck's sake?
Christina.
Christina. Christina, everybody. Security, keep an eye on Christina.
You may regret that applause in a moment. Christina. Pink hair is only primary crime. Is she's very excited to be here tonight. Very excited to be near either of us. Very excited to be here with all of you. Unfortunately, her secondary crime is her excitement is causing her to be a real hooligan. Like. Oh, now I made you sad. Okay, well, it's good. I need to be able to make you sad. That's the threat of a hooligan. Okay, good. That's the only difference between a...
Christina, have you been here to Harmontown before?
And, like, I'm from Las Vegas, so this is a big deal.
You're from Las Vegas, so this is a big deal. Being in the back room at a comic book store. Yeah, it's like being in Paris or Rome.
Yeah, you come from a city where the Addams Family has their own slot machine. Why do you care that you're here?
I'm like from Dan Harmon and Jeff Davis. Like, it's a big deal.
Do you have any expectations or hopes or dreams tonight?
Not at all.
I mean, nothing?
You guys are spot.
What would be your dream to go if you could wake up tomorrow morning and you why am I in such a good mood? Oh, because that happened. What would be the thing that you would hope to come out of the show tonight?
Just to be
All right. Well,
don't put me on the spot.
Okay. All right.
Don't put me on the spot, asshole. She just said. All right.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. The gauntlet has been thrown.
Next topic.
All right.
No. Coming. We're coming back to you, Christina.
No.
Mars.
Mars. Okay. So curiosity has landed.
this
and they're not going digging, by the way. The thing in the front is not a big scooper on the Curiosity rover on Mars. They got a laser on it that's going to evaporate rocks from a distance, and they're going to analyze rocks with a laser.
Oh, you know who was just telling me about that? 6-year-old Gil, whose podcast I did upstairs. The owner of the place has a 6-year-old son who has a podcast.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa. Yeah. How many podcasts do you have, man?
No, it's his podcast. Podcast. Gil.
Are you cheating on me?
No. I was on another person's podcast. I do that sometimes.
The theme tonight is infidelity, by the way.
Nice, Jeff.
Dan, when will you learn that I will comptroll the shit out of this motherfucker?
Thank you, Jeff. I misinterpreted. I thought that was a non sequitur. I thought you were misunderstanding, but actually what happened there is Jeff was segueing into our theme for tonight, which I allowed the audience in line to choose. I gave them a choice between travel, finance, and infidelity. And, you know, predictably enough, I should have thrown boobs in there, which was on the master list, because then we'd be talking about boobs all night. But I figure we'll be talking about boobs regardless. We could, if the theme was travel, we're going to end up talking about my hemorrhoids. And
our last show, I got to say, if we can read the minutes from the last show.
I listened to a recording of it.
It was based solely around the butthole, I believe.
Yeah. It was a complete. It was at a certain point we just started talking about things in butts, and I talked about how I had once put a Sharpie pen in my butt. And, I talked about how I had a real doll at one point, and Jeff talked about how he put on fishnets once, and see, he can't fail. I fuck a mannequin and I'm a pariah. Jeff's a transvestite and all the women are throwing their panties up for him to put on.
I'm a sweet transvestite. That's my secret.
Rob Schraub came up and told us.
Rob Schraub told a story about scalding his own butt with hot water.
It just turned into a theme. So I was thinking that infidelity would be like a. Probably, I would rather do travel or finance, but then Pink Hair started like shrieking. No, you don't want to do that. Anyways, there was a whole thing in line, and the crowd, the hooligans chose infidelity as a theme. We got questions from you. Jeff will comptroll those. I haven't read them. We'll pop over to them. Why don't we give them a taste? Can we give them a taste?
You want to crack one off right off the bat?
Sure, why not?
All right. Just from the top of the pile here, out of my right suit pocket. If Troy ever cheated on Abed, who would it be with?
Yeah.
Community question.
Yeah. Obviously it would be Britta. I mean, do I have to think of a funny answer?
No.
Well, Troy's in love with Britta.
We're talking to a guy whose show broke up with him and started fucking another showrunner.
Well, who do you think Troy's in love with? Do you guys watch the show? What, how clear did I have to? That wasn't a secret. That was I'm not Damon Lindelof. I didn't. It wasn't like if you didn't have to watch the episodes backwards and freeze frame on the shot of his driver's license and run it through the Da Vinci matrix. He just seemed to have a big crush on Britta. It seemed. Anyways. Let's not talk about that. Let's get over that relationship, shall we? All right, that was an example of a question about infidelity.
How deep do you want to dig on the first one? Do you want to start off light, or do you want to go for the heavy stuff? If we're not talking to you, Pink Hair. Holy shit.
You can't go back and forth between being rambunctious and then going, I'm sorry, don't pick on me. We're going to start picking on you. You gotta keep it down to feel the people around you. You're sitting right next to Enty. He's like a star here. Enty he doesn't have the right to get all. He would be playing into a stereotype if he started yelling.
For podcast people, he's talking about a black gentleman.
Yes. Right.
You might remember him from one of our numerous podcasts
about race. episodes 3 through 8, which the theme ended up being race.
And you weren't here last time, were you?
No.
Yeah, we thought we had really committed a crime. We had done something terrible.
NT's like the last Native American. You don't want to. If he goes away, it's maybe we littered too much. We're comforted by his presence. We're hanging on to that bough.
What blows my mind is that you continue, because you seem like a very nice, kind of mild-mannered dude, and you still sit right in the front row every time. It's like the splash zone.
He loves it. He's an aspiring writer, right, NT? You want to be a writer?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that maybe that's offensive. Maybe you are a writer. I think you want to be a writer, right? Okay. I don't know. Maybe he wrote a fucking thing for his school paper. And he's going to go home and cut himself. And he didn't acknowledge the my poetry series, Empty Heart, Full Soul.
I have a question for Pink Hair Lady real quick. Do you live in the 714 area code?
No, I live in 702.
Okay, because someone here just wrote down call me and it's a phone number and there's pink lipstick all over it.
Wait, someone shut their hand up.
Who was it?
All right. Can we... I hope that's not your boyfriend that you came here with, right? You're not doing this to him. Okay. All right. Well, tonight is weird. Should we just go get Jeffrey Ross, bring him up here? It feels like a toxic, ugly night. Is why I asked that question.
No, it's going to be fine.
Harmontown should be a safe place. The original conceit is I need to start a colony somewhere where we can all be cool to one another. And, I have some issues that I would bring to bear immediately. Like, you can have your shoes untied and no one can say your shoes are untied. Unless they really mean... it well instead of just saying your shoes are untied just to assert themselves over you, which is what I'm convinced people do when they say your shoes are untied.
But I've said to you, and I've heard people say to you that your shoes were untied in the nicest possible tone, and you still took great umbrage.
They still mean it. Can I tell you a story about me taking umbrage that happened outside? All right, yeah. Time for Dan's umbrage corner. My wonderful girlfriend, Erin McGathy, and I went to a party, a rooftop party that every year, I think, Sarah Silverman has this rooftop party. And the stars come out in all of their constellations. I met Chris Bosch, and then I Googled him and figured out who he was. I met Das Racist, and I Googled them and figured out who they were. I met Jack Black, and he was like, hey, Das Racist is here. I met Gary Shandling and talked to him for like 8 minutes about television. He did all the talking, which was fine. I never even told him that I had anything to do with TV. I wanted to hear Gary Shandling talk about TV. For you youngsters, I know you know Larry Sanders the same way you know Mr. Show, because you're the way I had to know Python. But do you know it's Gary Shandling's show on Showtime? That's important to go buy the box set of. Maybe you don't have to sit through all of it. It's 1980s comedy, but the conceit of the concept was amazing. Like Gary Shandling has always been a pioneer of what, for lack of a better word, and I truly wish there was no lack of a better word, meta entertainment. He's always been a defender of the creative's right to use the frame as part of the painting. He talked for a little bit about the thing, but as we were going into that party, we pulled up to the building and we were walking in, and a guy said, are you here for Miss Silverman's party? And we said yes, and he said, it's on the roof, go in the elevators on the left, straight up. I don't know what accent that is, but I know he had one.
That was Turkestan.
Then as we were opening the door, we just hear this voice. This guy goes, the party's over. And I was like, oh, what? And looked over at the guy who said it, and it was just a guy sitting on a bench, and he was sitting with a woman that was, and I was like, oh, well, what is it? And he immediately smiled and was like, I'm just kidding. And then we went in and went into the elevator. And now in the elevator, I went, that guy's a fucking lame ass. Or certainly his joke was lame. And Erin was like, well, now he's just trying to be a comrade, whatever. He's as nervous as you are to be outside a party. He's trying to be funny, whatever. Good old Joan of Arc Erin, tied to the fucking stake of being cool to everybody. I hated him. I thought he was a dick. Like, that's a dumb joke to make. If your joke is that you're a dick, that's a dick's joke. It may be, you may be pretending to be a dick, but that's what a dick does. If that's always your joke, I mean, that's often my joke, but... So we go to the party. Look, I'm not up here to have a breakthrough. I'm up here to be right. I'm up here to win an argument with my girlfriend because I have lights and a microphone on me.
However.
So we...
If you were, it would go a little something.
We left the party, and then we go to the valet where our car is parked. And the valet takes my ticket, and he says... which car is yours? And I said, it's a silver Prius. And then as he's walking away, I go, well, that actually may be presumptuous. Call it a gray Prius. And Erin proceeds to... She's like, see, you're as lame as that guy outside the party. And I was like, no, because my joke is that I'm lame. His joke is that we're lame. He's like taking high status, and I was taking low status. I was doing like a dumb joke. I'm just being funny and drunk. And that guy
he's saying that it was presumptuous as taking low status?
Well, yeah, but I was being ironic. I was being Gary Shandling about how what I was saying. It's a
was the guy on the bench Gary Shandling?
No.
Oh.
And then we got in a big fight.
And so how did that go?
Well, it was her sticking up for a stranger on a bench all night. And me going, no, my silver Prius joke was awesome. It was. It was funny. See, it's a silver Prius. I don't want to overstep gray Prius. It's funny. You know. Because silver's a color, but it also denotes value.
And you thought that landed?
Well, I didn't think it landed. I didn't think it landed.
You thought that undid all the wrongs that the guy on the bench had to...
Why don't you change your name to Aaron? Because this is the conversation we had. But as I was trying to explain to her, it's not my joke, unlike the good party's over guy. My joke doesn't have to land. I'm not holding anyone hostage with my joke. I'm talking to the back of a valet's head. I don't care if he's deaf. It's still a funny joke to me. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to turn around and go, huh? And me go, I'm just kidding about my Prius. This guy is that's comedic Al Qaeda to go like, party's over. What? The party's over?
No, it's not.
Yeah, but
that's 6-year-old humor.
I've known you long enough to know that when your shoe's untied, you can't even say it like, hey, Dan, we're going into a kind of a dirty restaurant. The floor is dirty. You might want to tie those shoes. Like, there's no way to say that to you without you taking offense.
Nobody ever says you're going into a dirty restaurant. Everyone just goes, shoes untied, bro.
But I go, hey, Dan,
no,
shoes untied.
My shoes aren't untied.
I know, but
the party's over formula.
No, I'm saying if I say that, I don't think I'm trying to zing you. I think I'm saying like, should that be a concern to you? Maybe you don't notice that. I've learned now to never give two shits about your shoelaces because I'm punished.
And I've learned to buy shoes without laces. This is a rare night for me.
All
I'm
right.
Wearing a fine pair of Adidas. Yes, Adidas.
As always, Harmontown brought to you by the good people at Adidas.
Why give your foot a handshake when you can give it a hug? Yes, Adidas. The A is for after glow. Have sex with your foot by slipping a warm Adidas shoe on it.
Yeah.
Nike.
Yes, do you think that this is ever going to pay off? That Nike's going to really feel the pressure?
I can't stop now. Give up? Then if we give,
gentlemen, I've just seen a spike in sales over at Adidas, and it can only be attributed to one thing.
That's what we have to hope for.
This aggressive guerrilla campaign over at Harmontown to strong arm us.
Yeah.
I say no way. I am the chief financial officer. I say no. And then an old man comes in a wheelchair, and he goes, I think we're going about this all wrong, gentlemen. Give them whatever they want.
I remember when you were a gorilla, Richard. That's different, Mr. Jenkins.
I would like to think maybe in 4 months' time, instead of this Harmontown poster back here, just a huge Nike swoosh back here.
I'm telling you, yeah. Hey, Nike, living well is the best revenge. Fucking buy me out. And the next Harmontown can be about how much I love sucking Nike's dick. I'll have no choice. You'll have me on the hook. But
I think the first step, though, is we actually have to... it has to become evident that we've made Adidas a dollar.
Yeah, well, I believe that will become evident. Don't worry about that, Jeff. Don't become one of them. Just be a creative and advertise for Adidas, and let's see if we can reverse this.
I'm not your valet guy you can just yell shit at.
I don't know.
So what was the outcome of the fight? Did you guys find any closure to that?
Relationship better than ever. Sealed it all up. All the holes are plugged. I don't know. What's the? We agreed that we were both drunk and having an argument about a stupid thing. That's how it ended.
Do you guys ever argue about important shit?
Like no, like the Holocaust? Like 6 million people. people? Come on, give me the remote. No, we never argue about important things. Because we're both narcissistic assholes. We don't care about the polar ice caps. We care about ourselves and each other. So that's what we fight about. We fight because we worry that we don't love each other as much as the other person loves us. Those are the good fights. The love fights. You know, eagles, they make love in midair. And they spiral to the floor. You're moved to words? Just
yeah. What were you saying? Yeah, he got overcome. Yeah, they're dying on the way down. You say?
They're phoning to the fucking death while they're fucking. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, so you like it? You like it? Yeah.
So you're saying the same thing the guy with the microphone is saying, just from the audience. Have you met Pink Hair? Don't have children. Some of us have work to do. Yes, Adam. Now Adam's raising his hand. I got the guy in the back doing the Mars callback. This is fucking this is chaos. I accept it. Yes, Adam.
I'm just saying, if they have sex, they'll plummet to their deaths.
If they have sex, they'll plummet to their deaths. Asperger's Adam connected the dots. We have a whole cavalcade of fucking peanuts here.
The only thing that happened is that sometimes people get so overcome by what you've said, they're moved to agree, they're moved to cry out.
I don't know.
Sometimes your story's shoe is untied, and they want to call it to your attention. You take umbrage.
No, this is a tragic misunderstanding, because he was saying the same thing I was. But when I hear somebody talking,
you thought he was yelling at you.
Yeah, exactly.
You were just being supportive.
Right.
Yeah, now you really made him feel like a dick.
Oh, so you're saying that when people see your shoes untied, they're saying, I love you.
They're trying to help. Yeah. They're worried about your shoe.
I think that's their retroactive defense. Nope. I think that if someone says, shoes untied, brah, and you go, don't tell me what to do. Get out of my life. Tend your own garden, motherfucker. Back off. Then they go, you could trip. Like, yeah, that was your first impulse. You walk around wondering when I'm going to trip.
Some people do, man. Some people do.
Not people who go, shoes untied, bro. Not that guy.
But I don't say it like that. I say, your fucking shoes untied.
You've never told me my shoes untied.
I have.
You're a liar.
I have, and you got fucking... this two nights ago at a wedding, we're getting ready for a wedding, and Dan Harmon came down in a nice suit. He's got a suit on, looks good in it. Dan's lost some weight, he's all fit, he looks like one of them. Yeah, he looks great. But the motherfucker can't tie a tie very well, and so you came down with a sloppy Harmon knot, and I thought, and boy, if you think your shoes untied, I have more opinions about ties than shoes, because the tie is right up there by your face, and I was like, let's work on that tie, and you're like, ugh. And for some reason, there was a giant full-length mirror
from my fashion show for Aaron to Sade.
Callback. So there's a giant full-length mirror down there, and I say, Dan, and I would never do this because I know that you're not rewarded for telling Dan that anything is tied wrong.
Right.
He has a thing about that. And so I go, we got to fix that tie. And you're like, what's wrong with my tie? And I was like, I'm going to show you something. So I reach around and like grandpa before the wedding, and I'm tying the tie, and Aaron's taking a picture of it, and you know that's going to be Instagrammed in a moment. And you had the saddest look on your face the whole time. You were so bummed.
Because I know it's going to be Instagrammed. And it's like, I've been tying a tie since I was 12 years old.
Yeah, but you tie it like shit.
No, I've got it down to a science. I do it very quickly.
But it looks like, it looks bad.
The difference between it looking bad and looking good is how much money and power I achieve.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, if I put a shoe on my head and I'm president, everyone has to put a shoe on their head. We're monkeys. We're not fucking giraffes.
I'm just saying you look better with what's your beef against giraffes?
Well, they have long necks. I mean, they're obviously willing to change for how high the leaf is. I mean,
I thought you meant because they had more neck, they'd be more concerned about ties.
When did I become the crazy comic relief guy in my own show? Why am I the Jamie Farr of this MASH? There was a show in the 70s called MASH. Can we get back on track, please? I try to keep an orderly show going here. Sometimes we get off on tangents. It's a rare thing, but...
Normally this thing is a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
We pick a topic, we stick to it.
Yeah, tonight's topic is infidelity.
All right, I'm going to ask another question from the audience here, Dan.
All right.
Somebody writes, do you think anyone with a list of celebrities they're allowed to cheat on with has ever been able to cross one off?
I get distracted by the concept of that before, because it felt like that whole hall pass, whatever you call it, celebrity pass thing. So
right.
Douchey. So like it really flies in the face of my whole, you know, like the idea. It's like, well, I'm fucking you, but we both agree if Paris Hilton walked in, right? It's so fucking disgusting. No wonder our divorce rate is 70%.
I'm more concerned about the voice that you give every other person in your life. Shoes and tap, bro.
Everyone in the world is Sylvester Stallone. I don't know. They're all like, I perceive them as trying to, well, you know, who came up with that?
All right, how about this? Is there a scenario where your significant other cheats that you'd totally forgive them for? Does that scenario exist for you?
Well,
go big.
Yeah. I mean, there's obvious. There's top of the line.
Should we have her leave the room?
Where anyone would cheat. Where like if okay, if there was a alien virus.
No, Dan, I said go big.
There's an alien virus released on Earth, and then like it dropped in like these orbs that created big explosions, so there was chaos, and then the virus got aerosol, misted into the air, so the primary effect is the destruction of our infrastructure, and then while that plunged us into chaos, which would separate me from my girlfriend, then the virus is released into the air, which threatens the survival of the human race. She meets a scientist, let's say played by Bill Pullman. While separated from me, she's the only non-sterilized human being in some bunker. He's the only non-sterilized man. I mean, and for some reason, they can't just put his sperm in a cup and, you know, like they really have to do it on the floor of the Library of Congress or something. Then the movie's over. We beat all the aliens, and I walk across the Salt Lake Flats toward her, and she's got a cigar in her mouth, and you know, we did it. We saved the Earth. You know, she goes like we did it. I'm like, oh my God, I'm alive. You're alive. Oh, and she whispers in my ear, I had to fuck Bill Pullman. And I go like, I would have too. I would have been okay with that. But anything really smaller scale than that, I'd be like, whore. You belong to me.
I think that you might just have enough pettiness in your body to still, like, 3 days later at Little Dom's having breakfast. To like,
she'd be this crepe's really good.
Yeah?
Does it remind you of Bill Pullman's dick? Is it better or worse? I'm making a scrapbook.
Honey, we wouldn't have crepes anymore if I didn't fuck Bill Pullman. You
understand? No, I understood. I'm sure you hated it.
He was pretty good. He was pretty good in bed.
Thanks, baby. And then Paris Hilton walks in. And that's my celebrity pass. Which is the conceit of my new movie. yeah, whatever, man. I don't know. I didn't want the theme to be infidelity tonight because the topic makes... I don't like watching movies where the central conceit is like this scandalous taboo, like coming up with ways to make it okay for people to cheat. Like, it always makes me very uncomfortable. I got cheated on once and I just... I'm a very jealous person. Very, very insecure. Very possessive. Very, very like... I don't want to be... better about it. I don't want to have like big thick calluses over the part of my body that feels pain when my girlfriend wants to fuck someone else. I want my girlfriend not to fuck other people. You know, I want true love. I want, it doesn't, it's, it, I guess it's immature, but I, yeah, I just, it bugs me. So you see these Richard Gere movies and like, oh, he trained parrots and he was married to her in 1800s England, but then she went into a coma and, then he met the parrot, owner of his dreams. And, she's in a coma, so he couldn't, like, break up with her. He just had to fuck her on top of her. And it's like, you're supposed to tune in. You're really just jacking off to a man and woman fucking on top of his wife.
How come you don't write more features? Now, but Dan, you said in previous podcasts, or Harmontowns, rather, that... that when you are masturbating, you fantasize about your person, your girlfriend fucking somebody else.
Not my girlfriend necessarily. Like, more often than not, that's when I'm single between relationships, when I'm very lonely, when I'm masturbating, the fantasy that creeps into my head the most often is my ex-girlfriend fucking other people.
But never your current girlfriend.
What's up?
But never your current girlfriend.
Sometimes.
Really?
Sometimes my current girlfriend, but like not... That's more in a, like a... Yeah, sometimes. You know, like I'll think of like like weird, raunchy situations where the girlfriend that I'm currently with, you know, is an insatiable kind of animal that's you know, and I'm not around. It starts with self-loathing because you're... like I said, I can't put myself in a sexual situation very easily. Like, it's easier. The path of least resistance is for me to not be there if it's really sexy. Because I look like Randy Quaid. And you don't cast him in 9.5 weeks. You put him in Vacation 3. And not even in the lead role. And that leads to like, well, if my girlfriend is fucking and I'm not there, then who's she fucking? And then you go, well, maybe the guy's fixing the roof. I don't know. So sometimes, but that's like, you know, 15-20%. But when I'm single and I've been dumped, especially it's like 100%. Like, I can't get my brain out of that gutter, like where it's like, oh, my ex girlfriend is that dumped me. She dumped me because, you know, she's doing this and she's doing that, and I'm thinking about that. So it's like my sexual wires are crossed with my self hatred wires, and it's terrible. It's awful. It's a picture of mental illness. But saying it into a microphone makes it all better. Makes everything perfect. Nothing will ever go wrong now. Thanks, everybody, tonight, by the way, for calling me out on everything. What the fuck? No. It's my show.
I think you seem a little extra on edge tonight.
No, from the moment I came up here, I've been attacked.
I know, you perceived attack. A guy in the front row was going like, yeah, like, I totally agree. And you thought, like, you said, like, hey, shut the fuck up, man.
No, that's not true. Can we, what's your name, guy that looks exactly like Akiva Schaffer? What's your name?
Levi.
Levi?
Wait.
Well, don't do too much talking, because when you're off mic, having heard the podcast recording thing. Okay, give him a mic.
What was the thing you just called me?
A guy that looks exactly like Akiva Schaffer.
A friend of ours. He's a writer and a very funny guy.
Don't know it. I'm 25. Should I know that?
He's 22. Fuck you.
Is he here tonight? Can I fight him? Fuck him. Like, what, should I know him?
He's defensive too.
Yeah, look.
Because of you, though. Yeah.
All right. Well, can we do a thing? Like, will you just tell me about the first, tell me about, I'm trying to think of like an easy, like, tell me about your favorite Christmas.
No.
Okay. All right.
You guys are meant for each other.
All right. Well, tell me what's your favorite TV show? Or just a good one, just anyone. Doesn't have to be your favorite.
Don't say that one.
Adam, shut up. Don't heckle a double heckler. It's a fucking inception of
We get a double heckler.
It's like this biosphere's erupt. It's like a fractal fucking flower pattern of
the
people.
Hecklers are heckling the hecklers.
I'm not heckling at all.
No. Well, Levi, Adam, quiet. Levi, tell me about a favorite show of yours.
Stranger with Candy.
Okay, just tell me. Start talking about why it's good.
It's got Stephen Colbert before.
No,
he was
it's Stephen Colbert.
It's not. That's what you thought happens?
Yeah.
That's what you
that's
thought
exactly
happened?
What happened. I was saying eagles fuck as they're going to the thing, and I just hear like, ah, they're dying!
Dan, I was sitting. I have the best seat in the house because I can see you and Levi perfectly. And he was just like, "Fuck yeah!" Like they're dying out there. He was on your side. You had a comrade.
Yes, we found out he was on my side. But I'm telling you, the customer is always right. I'm a customer base of one. If the guy behind the microphone thinks that someone is like a distraction, he's right. I'm right. I'm definitely right. I'm a focus group.
You're louder, so yeah, that's how it works.
Ooh, now he's got a microphone.
No, it doesn't.
Now we're on even ground.
Yeah.
No, here's the thing. Your name's going to my suicide note tonight, buddy. Like, now you're fucked.
So the audience doesn't. They don't like this. They don't like the chaos. They don't like the.
No. That's what's happening now. That's the thing.
All right.
That's the thing.
All right. Levi, keep the microphone. Keep talking into it.
No. Because Pink Hair is about to grab the mic. I'm taking that away.
Right,
I mean,
downhill.
There's chaos and there's chaos.
This has nothing to do with power dynamics. It has everything to do with intent and emotion and dynamics. What I'm saying is not that I'm louder than you or that you're being too loud. What I'm saying is that your way of expressing agreement to me with these lights in my face looks an awful lot like a drowning man. Everyone else does that, what they just did. You went, he's sick, he would do it, it's Adam again! And I thought it meant that your mother had been raped by an eagle. And I wanted to talk about it, by the way. I didn't just point at your shirt and go, where'd you get it? Ray Charles at a garage sale? Go fuck yourself, faggot. I didn't do anything. I didn't bully you. I said, what's going on down here? The same way I did to that fucking asshole outside Sarah Silverman's party.
Yeah.
What do you mean party's over?
Just kidding.
Hell, fuck you. My shoe's untied. You got my full attention now. My brain's the size of a fucking planet. How much of it do you want? You want all of it? I'll give you all of it. You're not going to like it. I'm thinking about a new TV show. It's going to make everyone happy. Party's over.
Yeah.
Eagles are dying. Your shoe's untied.
It's about aliens that drop pods of things.
That was good. Remember what I came up with? That's a good... think about your girlfriend sucking dicks. Well, Bill Pullman's in it? That's a fucking box office dynamite. Like, you see what's going on up here? I deserve space.
Yeah.
I'll reward you for having it.
Right, but not everybody is like.
I have Asperger's.
Do you think so?
No, I diagnosed myself with it after taking an online quiz and reading some conversations in a forum.
I mean, was one of the symptoms you take online Asperger's quizzes?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have an excuse. I'm a bad person. I'm a bad, unlikable person.
Would you be happier if you found out that you did have some sort of diagnosable illness like Asperger's?
Well, like Aaron said, I'd rather it be one that's named after me. I'd rather not have this Asperger guy on my shit.
Like that guy, narcissist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd like to have have people after me call themselves Harmon Burgers. It's as if the word burger is part of the. I don't know. Well, you guys are throwing me. Congratulations. I mean, that's what you get. You cracked the walnut. Now you get the chewy, neurotic nut in the middle. Well, we got. Oh shit! We have to bring fucking Spencer up here.
Oh yeah,
sorry.
No. We have a real treat in store tonight. By applause, how many of you have never heard of or know nothing about Dungeons and Dragons? By applause.
Sorry, wait.
Either nobody's.
No, I heard silence and started laughing, but hold on. Then there was. Sorry, go ahead.
Anybody who knows nothing about Dungeons and Dragons? I'm one of those people.
All right.
So it's several, like six or seven or eight.
Yeah. And, but I was just laughing because I'm just very proud of my audience.
No.
Yes.
We are indeed in the back room of a comic book store right now.
Yeah.
And three Harmontowns ago, Dan brought up the idea of possibly having a dungeon master so we could play Dungeons and Dragons. And there was a gentleman in our audience that night who could not have possibly known that we were going to talk about that, who shot his hand in the air. So then last week we brought him up again and we came up with characters.
Jeff decided that he wanted to be a gnome barbarian.
Correct. I was trying to go out of character.
Audience picked the name of Quark.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of that hat kind of fell down around my ears, but I'm sticking with I'm Quark.
And you and your audience picked the name Sharpie Butts a lot for me.
We can change them. We can change those names.
I don't think that's good.
We shot from the hip.
That's not good storytelling when you go back and change. I mean, look.
Would I be happier with a name that wasn't Quark? Yes, the answer is yes.
But more importantly, you picked a gnome barbarian, and I picked a human magic user. I'm first edition Dungeons and Dragons, so Spencer had to email me subsequently and go, oh, by the way, it's not just magic user now. You have to pick between a wizard and a sorcerer. I picked wizard. Wizard is somebody who studies it. Adam, what are you doing?
I was mentioning how I wasn't going to correct you because in first edition, gnomes can't be barbarians.
I think if the show, if Nike ever does give us any money, I want everyone in this audience to have a lavalier mic on. And the world's biggest soundboard.
Yeah. There definitely needs to be, just like roving drones that can just like mic people.
Someone from Nerdmel, we need to area mic this audience more because there's too much good shit happening.
Adam, how could you not think I heard you? You're not watching Breaking Bad. I'm 2 feet from you. He's talking
to... He was trying to help, Dan.
Well, you're sticking up for a fundamental vagrant.
Look, I don't know much about being a barbarian dwarf, but I'm pretty sure he would stand up for this guy.
All right. Well, now, obviously, since we're arguing about Dungeons & Dragons, which is ratings dynamite... Let's bring the star of this Walker, Texas Ranger show up. Spencer, come on up here.
How's it going?
Thank you for coming back, Spencer, and thank you in advance for the work you've done since Friday. Do we have to start with this? Did you hear what was going on down here? Have you met Adam, by the way?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
What?
No, I...
Was that insincere to you? Well, I'm genuinely enthused.
There's a huge... Is there a weird force field up here where everybody feels like people are coming after him?
No, there's just a lot of people coming after the people on stage. Spencer and I are good people and on the same side, right?
Yeah.
Forever.
They broke the fourth wall good and early this night.
All right. But no, seriously, so Adam started immediately talking about some kind of... What?
No. I'll just hold it like that. It'll be better. The wand of voice amplification.
Jeff just did a bit where he tried to raise the microphone to Spencer's level. Spencer's 6'4". I'm tired.
You're taller than that. How tall are you?
We're going with 6'4", I think.
You tell me, bro.
I stopped measuring myself.
There is a huge insecurity thing going on with that microphone. There's a weird...
That's the most secure thing in the world. Fuck rulers.
All right.
I'm tall. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, at a certain point you stop caring, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I got you. Yeah.
Just, I like this guy.
Just don't give me that look when you say it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know, man. Adam, what were you saying? What was your thing about... What were you saying? Gnomes, barbarians, what were you saying?
I'm sorry, I was... holding, touching the microphone, which you're now holding and dispensing. But in the first edition, I've seen your D&D rule books. I thought they're first edition and gnomes can't be barbarians. But I thought, if I say that out loud, Dan's going to think I'm more Aspergian than I think he is am. God. See, that's one of the sentences that proves itself. So I was like, I'm just going to say that quietly to someone who might get it in context. And I still upset you, for which I apologize.
All right, okay. Well, all right. I didn't understand. Did you? He was saying some. Is there?
Yeah, he has a fair point. He was talking about first edition. Is that correct? Yeah, we're playing 3.5 edition, so it's not an issue. But yeah, he is right.
I don't know what the fuck anybody's talking about.
Well, I don't either.
Let me just explain it for a long time.
Here we go. This is getting off on the right foot.
Let's call our edition 3.6, which means that if there's an infraction, you don't have to yell out. That's the difference between 3.5 and 3.6. All right. So if I say my wizard's wearing a pointy hat, you know, and you read in Elf magazine that he can't, just, you know, don't run up on stage. It's getting scary in this place.
I'm doing great.
It's good. It's just like Fort Apache, the Bronx, or Assault on Precinct 17.
Yeah. Take it away, Spencer.
All right. Well, as we've mentioned, you've picked a gnome barbarian, Jeff.
Oh, Adam's already. Yeah, he's still. Yeah. I'm a gnome barbarian.
All right.
Is that not good? Should I? Is that?
No, it's great. It's
okay.
Fine.
I don't really know. Briefly explain to me what that means.
A gnome is about your gnome is about 3 foot 3 inches tall, and he angrily flies.
That's what she said. You don't. Sorry.
It's like a kickstand, I swear. But and he flies angrily at people with a sword a full foot longer than he is.
No shit.
Yeah.
All right, we're back in business. Sorry, I'm 3 foot 3. I got a 4 foot 3 sword.
It's slanted.
That's what she said. I don't know. Should I stop saying that's what she said? Is that going to happen a lot?
I think that happens 8 times per game in Dungeons and Dragons. So.
All right. Okay, so I fly angrily at people with a sword a foot longer than my body.
Yeah. All right. I wrote you a backstory. Do you want to hear your backstory?
Fucking yes.
All right. Well, let me just start it off. Cork stands tall for a gnome, a full 3 foot 3 inches. When he was growing up, he was picked on by the local hooligans who insulted his ragged clothes and admittedly lackluster mental faculties on a regular basis. That is, until one day he snapped in a gnome-on-gnome scuffle, biting the ear off the ringleader of the local gang, the Cactus Bunch, after they had taken his prized bandana.
Uh-huh.
It was his first taste of blood. It would not be his last.
All right.
I love that. I love that a lot. As much as I hate gnome-on-gnome violence, I still... When will it stop? But that's
hopefully at the Grammys.
I love that. But the thing is, as you said that, Spencer, I have a perfect visual image of who that character is.
All right, great. And so, yeah, he hits stuff with a sword. That's about it, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll get there.
Yeah, no, he gets better.
Is there still, as of 3.5, is it just a list of like those attributes, like strength, intelligence, wisdom, all that stuff?
Yeah, there's the class features. Mostly it's attributes, feats, and skills. But yeah, there's some stuff.
I thought maybe you'd just read down Jeff's attributes, just the main ones. Just.
Oh, yeah, no problem. He's got a strength, 16.
Out of how many?
Oh, 100. 10 is considered average. Like, 18 is like the pinnacle of human achievement.
So 16,
like giant
good.
Monsters. 16 is well above average. You'd be like a bodybuilder.
Thank you.
In the real world. Dexterity is 14, which is above average, but not like super amazing. Constitution is 17, which is really strong. That's you know, he can take a beating and keep on eating.
I could.
Also, he can and he can drink people under the table.
Well, you got that right.
He's got a 12 intelligence, which is still kind of smart for someone who's a barbarian, but he's got 11 wisdom, which means he has no common sense. I gave him a 17 charisma because he's got a dashing smile and a winning sense of humor.
Aww.
That's not you. That's just the character.
Yeah. You're the boss, Spencer. Thank you very much.
All right. Moving on to Sharpie Butts-a-Lot.
All right. Sharpie Butts-a-Lot is a tall, dark-haired wizard in what is unmistakably a periwinkle terry cloth bathrobe. Sharpie was born to a maiden doomed to life imprisonment in the High Tower of Penitence. Life was hard growing up in a prison, but he started to read and learn magic at a young age. He eventually cast Featherfall on himself and fell safely out of the tower and began adventuring.
Yeah. All right, first level. That's as far as your story goes.
Absolutely.
We just started.
You start to build the legend now.
And believe me, the name Sharpie Butts-a-Lot will be feared throughout the realm. What about my attributes? What do I got here?
All right, you got a 9 strength, which is still decent for your average layperson.
I couldn't do a pull-up in grade school.
You might still be able to, yeah. A 14 dexterity, which is the same as Jeff's.
What's his shoe tying ability?
That's he's got 3 ranks in shoe tying.
Don't team up with him, Spencer. Don't break my heart.
I can't help it.
I will never ask you to team up with me, but don't team up with him.
I'll try. 16 constitution, which is still really strong. You can take some hits and drink a lot also.
You can take some hits and eat some shits. That's my first time, man. That's my first time.
He's so proud.
I'm just trying to have a good time over here. I'm a barbarian gnome.
So proud of
myself. We have a weird sense of humor, man.
All right. You got a 15 wisdom, which means you're reasonably wise and you have a cool head on your shoulders. I missed 18 intelligence. Sorry about that. That's your main stat. You're really smart.
Yeah. Typecasting.
These were rolled randomly.
These were random rolls?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Like, I rolled them randomly and then assigned them to the stats that fit the classes. So, he didn't have an 18 strength and not be able to cast any spells. Yeah.
Right, right.
That's normal. That's normal.
That's just good Dungeon Master stuff.
Well, it's good character creation. Yeah, exactly. And 11 charisma, which is above average, but you're not going to be winning any beauty contests.
You're no Bill Pullman.
I'll have to rely on my ability of storytelling to keep my woman at home.
Yeah, you got a crossbow and some spells. Like, you can shrink people down and make things light up.
I can shoot a crossbow?
Yeah, you got a crossbow because sometimes you run out of spells and don't want to die.
Oh, that's nice. All right, well, is there anything else you need to add, Spencer? Do you want to talk about how we proceed now that we have our characters?
Yeah, I mean, basically...
Should we try to play a 15-minute adventure next Harmontown?
What do you say, audience? Yes.
Well, they're not going to boo. We'll find out whether it's a good idea or a bad one. But maybe we could, maybe we should.
No, I say we kick this off. Next time in town, we get Sharpie and Cork meet in the field of battle.
And so, what do you need to do that? Should we next time? Should we put a little table over there so that you have a place to roll dice?
Yeah, just roll dice and
maps
maybe.
And things.
I don't need that many maps, but yeah, dice.
All right. Okay. So we give that a shot at the next Harmontown and see how it goes from there. All right. Thank you, Spencer.
Spencer, everybody. That's some.
That's a lot of work Spencer's putting in for us. It's nice of him.
I think we got the right man for the job, though.
I think so.
He's lovable, isn't he?
He's
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he approaches his job with sincerity. I did an interview today, a small one, with a guy from Time Magazine, which I think most of the time when they say you're doing an interview for Time...
Thank you, sir.
I think they actually just mean... And they're applauding the arrival of the vodka. I did an interview with a guy on the phone just about the Anomalisa Kickstarter, and...
Why don't you explain that briefly for people that don't know?
Go donate if the time's not up yet. Go to the go to Kickstarter. Look for Anomalisa. It's a Charlie Kaufman script that we're producing through our studio Starburns. It's going to be a stop motion feature written by Charlie Kaufman. You can go kick in some money and we'll make it as good as we can, as well as we can. See, we'll correct. We'll do a grammar check if you give us enough money. The guy that interviewed me from Time, his name was Harry McCracken. And that's it. That's the end of that story.
For real?
I wrote that in my... Harry McCracken.
A nom de plume, or that's his...
I don't know. It's Phil's brother?
You know? That's his real name.
You've worked for him? Yeah. That's his actual name. That's,
he's right for PC World.
Harry McCracken.
Harry McCracken.
That's the best.
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk.
No. God damn it. I didn't mean to become Ming the Merciless. The guy... That guy just like a guy from the audience just said I work for Harry McCracken and that's his real name.
You know what I think happened? I think Spencer came up here and dispelled some of the evil magic that was up on that stage.
Well, I can't wait to listen to the recording of tonight and see who went wrong where. But I did not feel like I came up here with any negative energy. I guess I said the first thing I said is, "Hey, pink hair, you're gonna be in trouble." I think I blame pink hair. That's what it is.
But you came out and blamed pink hair, but she hadn't even done anything as far as I had seen.
Thank you.
Did something go wrong in the line? Did you meet her earlier?
No, I didn't go wrong. I was being sincere when my first thought, because I saw the pink hair, and then I thought trouble, because in the line she was kind of like, she was excited. You were excited.
I was excited to see you.
I know. You don't have to. I know why. No, it's not because it can be... Well, look what happened. I guess the story we're learning, the ironic like Greek myth, is that I thought it would be trouble. I tried to prevent the trouble. I caused all the trouble. Is that what we're learning? Yes, so I caused the trouble. Jeez. You know? Take it to the bank. It's the last check you're going to get. It's the last time I'm ever going to be wrong about anything. Promise you that. Sometimes at Harmontown, I have to lay down the law.
Oh.
all right. What else is on the docket? Let's do some more infidelity questions, apparently.
Right. How about... here's a goodie. Somebody in the audience writes, "I am a gay male. I recently stopped seeing a guy because he insisted on a, quote, open relationship. He insisted that it would only be physical and not emotional. Is a, quote, physically open relationship possible? Or any kind, for that matter?"
Boy, that's a lot of spaghetti. That's, if I'm getting him right, he's saying that his partner said, "Let's be in an open relationship."
But he insisted it would only be physical and not emotional.
Well, but by it, he means what? The new relationship?
The new relationship would only be a physical
thing. I'm only going to fuck another guy.
I'm not going to fall in love with him.
I'm not going to love another guy. I'm just going to fuck another guy.
I'm just going to fellate him frequently in the parking lot.
And that's every... Yeah, I mean, well, wait. And so his final question is that possible?
Is there such a thing as a physically open relationship?
I don't think so. And I don't think the rules are probably any different for our gay friends, our fine feathered gay friends. I picture them as like a hawk species in a
dive. Second wave. Dive.
That guy was gay, the actor that played the leader of the Hawkmen in Flash Gordon.
Brian Blessed, whom I love.
Yeah, he was a big burly gay dude who was awesome as the leader of the Hawkmen.
Gay is a French horn, but it's so funny.
That's why I said our fine feathered gay friends. I was picturing like a battalion of our, when I said our gay friends, I just pictured looking out a porthole in a spaceship and seeing like a fleet of hawk people that were there to save the day. I'm sure it's the same
for
everybody.
I can't tell if that's diminishing gay people or really exalting them.
Well, it's up to them. I don't know. Up to them and the hawks.
Hey man, when hawks have sex in the air though, man.
Yeah.
They die.
They plummet. Don't get Levi fucking hysterical to a point where I think he's heckling me. Just stop it. Pink hair. God damn it. Pink hair and Levi.
It's like having a bundle
of dynamite in the front row. It's not my fault. It's sweating nitroglycerin, you know? It's like you shake it and it blows up. Okay. Gay people, hear my voice. Sex comes easier for you because men are pigs and gay men couples are easier to hook up and stuff. But I think that's the only difference. I imagine that everyone that goes to bed together, no matter what they're doing, is cosmically intermingling a little bit. There's an emotional component to all sex. Otherwise, all we'd all do is jerk off. If you got the same energy from an orgasm, no matter what you were doing, it doesn't matter what promises you make. So I'm as much as this poor gentleman probably doesn't need or want to hear it, his mate that's saying, can I be in an open relationship? I'm agreeing with his obvious anxiety, which is, no, there's no such thing as a physical. You can't love one guy and then be physical with another guy and then, like, never the twain shall meet.
Several people, I went through the questions that people wrote down in the audience, and like surprisingly, like almost word for word, people asked, like, and several of you asked, is there... What's worse, physically cheating or emotionally cheating?
Right.
Like, and that's, you know, that's apparently that was on everybody's minds. What would be more hurtful?
Yeah, I'm way too old fashioned to. I think that there are people who are better equipped for this because I don't think my advice would be or my insights would be as valid. I think I've often observed that people who are growing up in an age of text messaging and Facebooking and all this stuff, they are a little more shielded in the right places. I am a 39-year-old maniac. When I have a girlfriend, I get nervous and jealous very easily. I think that that's sort of intertwined with the definition of loving somebody. It's like, it doesn't make any logical sense, though. It's not practical. So I'm not Dr. Phil about when it comes to when you should be jealous and possessive. There's a million people out there, some of them might be in the audience, who are actually capable of doing weird swingery stuff and totally keeping everything together. You look at Bruce Willis and Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore, or whoever the fuck, they all, you see a tablet, they're all in a boat together, like, hey, we all fucked each other, who cares, let's go fishing. It is possible for people to be mature.
I was staying in a hotel one time. I was supposed to fly out in the morning, but for some reason the flight got canceled, so I had to stay in Reno, Nevada for a night, and we stayed at one of the casinos there, one of the big hotel casinos there. And I don't know if you've ever been to Reno. It's a little mini kind of country cowboy Vegas, you know, the biggest little city in the world, I think they call it.
Yeah.
And are you from there?
No.
No. Yeah. Keep it down, man. No, sorry. But we stayed at this casino, and I was walking to my hotel room, and it was me and some of the guys I was doing I got a comedy show with, and we're walking to our hotel rooms, and on kind of like 80% of the doorways, like the hotel doors, there was a Polaroid of like a couple, like a married couple or a guy and a gal, sometimes just a guy, sometimes just a gal, but there's a Polaroid taped to the doors. And I don't really think anything of it. I thought it's something going on at a convention. So then I go down to the casino, and I'm playing roulette, and I'm sitting there, and I notice like everyone's got these really, really visible, bright, like hot pink or orange wristbands on. Not everybody, but a lot of people, but also the same kind of age group and style of the people that were in these photos on the doors in the hotel. And so I say to the croupier, what do you call the guy at the roulette table? I said, what's going on? Like, what's with the wristbands and the Polaroids in the door? And he goes, it's a swingers convention. Yeah, it's like, oh no. I because looking around, I hate to be a jerk, but you wouldn't fuck any one of these people. It was pretty rough. It was pretty rough. And I said, what's up with the Polaroids in the door? And the Polaroids are like, if you walk by a door and you go, oh, that's who's in this room. And you can knock on the door. And if they want you to come in, you can either join in or watch or whatever. I mean, I guess that's all fun and fine and dandy. But I got to say, the mood in that casino was tense. Because nobody got what they fucking wanted or paid for. Or, yeah, it was rough. And there was a couple, like, there were a couple couples that were more on the sexy scale, like on the sexy side of the scale. And they were just being worked on by everybody, and they were really bummed out. It was bad.
Yeah, I in a world where we haven't answered those questions yet, I just keep it simple and just go with what my primal instinct tells me, which is that I want a woman, and I want her to be my woman. And if that's unhealthy, it's the unhealthy choice that will get me through a sea of very confusing shit. Because it's every person I've ever talked to, every anecdote I've ever heard about three ways and four ways and nine ways and open relationships, and she's my old lady, but we have a common law thing, and let me do this, and that guy lives in our garage and he hangs in a bat costume, and none of those end with anyone cutting a cake, which I'm sorry, I'm my parents' son. I just want to go. I just want to do the chicken dance and go home and have some kids and like die. I want to do it with one person, and I don't want Kevin, you know, hanging out. Or Natalie. I don't. Those stories end with probably no more. I think those people, like, we owe it to them to say, like, I think that people who are pursuing their bliss, like, they, those people are just as right as monogamists. I think it's random and cosmic. It's like, there's stress everywhere. It's fucking stressful. There's no such thing as waking up every morning with a big hard on for the person that's 3 feet from you and being happy and then going to bed happy and doing it every day. Because then if that happens, then that's not, human beings aren't happy all the time. Happiness is defined by the unhappiness that follows it. So there is no, like, you talk, I always smell a rat when I talk to people who are like, yeah, we do, you know, we cheated the system. We got to, you know, it's like, this is Darla. She's with me, but, you know, we go home together. We live together, but, you know, I do what I want with Stacy. And I always feel like someone's going to kill themselves, you know, pretty soon. Stacy's going to murder somebody or that something's uncomfortable in bed. But if I'm wrong or if I'm right, there's no time for me to change that fact. I'm all for kids sticking to the addiction, the gum that's under the desk that you touch when it's there. It's like, you want a girlfriend, you want your girlfriend to turn into your wife, you want your wife to turn into the mother of your children, you want to, and infidelity is the static that happens on that TV reception, because people fuck up, they fail, and we fantasize and like think that we did something wrong or something, and we fail as human beings. Infidelity happens, and I don't know if it's a solution to say, hey, my television station is half static. I think you're still saying the same thing. You're saying it's hard to be in a relationship, and so your solution is to make relationships hard.
Well, somebody asked, would you rather be the person that was cheated on or the person that cheated?
I would definitely rather be cheated on. I as much that wow, that is a really awesome question. That's a question of perspective, because certainly in the long run, you would definitely rather be cheated on, because fucking, like, you get to stop being in a relationship and you're the hero. You get flooded with pity puss. Should you want it.
Pity puss.
You don't even have to force it in conversation. It's going to come up naturally. Why'd you play that song on the jukebox? My wife fucked someone. She what? I would never do that. Prove it. Make love to my penis tonight forever. Prove you're not like my wife. And you just like you don't break a sweat. You sleep like a baby. You're not married. Yeah, better to be in the long run, because you are in an unhealthy relationship if someone's capable of cheating on you. The problem is it's like the idea of you were in love with her and you can't live without her and she cheated on you. That so in the short term, people jump off bridges. People jump. That was an unfortunate choice of words. Tony Scott just jumped off a bridge. R.I.P. Tony Scott, whatever. Don't whatever. It's not a disrespect to him to use the phrase jump off a bridge. No, it's just unfortunate.
It was just that we were talking about it earlier.
People jump off of spaceships because of relationships, because of people leaving them.
That was Ridley Scott.
When you are...
yeah.
Let's just get...
Fuck those guys.
We just...
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. Kidding, I'm sorry.
Everyone's a fan of everyone who's dead.
Fuck you, Phyllis Diller, you piece of shit. I'm kidding. I worship Phyllis Diller, and I love Tony and Ridley Scott. Come on.
Ron Palillo, you owe me money. Nice way out. Ron Palillo died.
Horshack from Welcome Back, Kotter died as well.
This is, welcome to our death segment of Harmontown.
This show's got it all. We got infidelity. We got Dungeons and Dragons. We got dead people.
We have a complete imbalance between the power and the power dynamic of audience and performer.
Levi fucked off about 10 minutes ago. We don't know where he went. He's gone.
Back to the bathroom.
Yeah, it's fine. Just don't.
He's jumping off a bridge right now.
He's suffocating himself in a giant pair of acid wash pants. It's Levi. It's just because his name is a kind of pants. I'm not going to repeat it.
I admire the calm and comfort you have.
I'm from Milwaukee.
What?
I am.
I thought you were from Las Vegas.
I live there, but I'm from Milwaukee. All
right.
I am, asshole.
Jesus. She just called Dan an ass on that.
The back and forth is unpodcastable because no one can hear you. And we don't dare give you a microphone. All right. No, give it to her. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I walked toward her with a microphone and the crowd, a mutiny.
That was right. Okay. All right. But I'm not, there's nothing wrong with you as a human being. I'm not saying, okay.
I just admire her zeal and her comfort of just completely shoehorning herself into the show. I think it's fantastic.
But as we established, okay, we got to the bottom of it. I stepped up on stage. I drew first blood. I immediately, all of a sudden, I shouldn't have done that. I shook that can. I was doing a callback. I thought, oh, there was energy out there in the line. I think I'll do a big callback. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm an idiot. I'm not. This isn't my job. This isn't. I don't write on my tax form. I don't go showrunner. Wait, yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
Not anymore. But it's not a live showrunner.
I don't say there's a town with my name on it.
Right.
Oh wait, I guess I do.
What the fuck were we talking about? What were we just talking about? It was important. No, we weren't talking about Levi. We weren't talking about jumping off bridges. I mean, we were, but we shouldn't have been.
Long-term
infidelity. Yeah, people breaking hearted. Whatever. I would rather be cheated on because the long-term.
All right. Here's a short question. Woody Allen, thoughts?
I do have thoughts because Aaron just pulled up that documentary on Woody Allen. It was how many people by applause have seen that Woody Allen documentary? That was very interesting watching that. The most it was so revelatory. Like Woody Allen is a ubiquitous genius. Like he's but everyone in this room has grown up surrounded by his movies because he makes almost literally one per year and has been doing it for how many decades. And some of them hit and some of them miss, but he's made more good movies than any of his peers because he's made kind of by more bad movies. I never got that perspective on him. And there's the studying of his personality by talking to all of the people around him. He seems to have I was relieved to find out that there's his circuit board in his brain is kind of like there's a couple of scorch marks there which is nice because it means that we don't all owe it to ourselves to go home and try to be Woody Allen because I think it's genetic. I think it's like neurological. What was the movie that he was writing in the documentary? He was writing one of his good movies while all of the shit was going down in the tabloids about him and Sun Yi. Can anyone shout it out? Does anyone remember? He was writing Husband's Wives. That was it. Wait, was that a good one or not? Was it Broadway Danny Rose or Husband's Wives? It couldn't have been Broadway Danny Rose.
Those are both good movies.
I don't think it was Bullets Over Broadway either. Husband's Wives, probably.
Curly Sue.
Curly Sue. This is a story about him like taking phone calls with his lawyer and going like, you might want to get a blood sample, and then coming back and sitting down and just riffing bits to do the show. And the end result is a fine movie that everyone enjoyed. Like he, and then they have that montage of everyone going, he compartmentalizes. Like the another word for compartmentalizing is like autism. He is like there's different parts of his brain that are incapable of crossing into other parts of his brain, and he's one of those rare people that like those compartments are shaped in a Tetris block that makes like movies, and he just keeps making them and making like good ones. To me, it was a relief because I'm a narcissist, and everyone who does anything creative, I don't care if you make a rocking chair or a stained glass window, my big thought in my head is like, do I need to prove that I can do that better or worse, or am I under threat here? You beat your wife, right? That's why you make such good stained glass windows. I don't know. Like I'm always looking for some way to make myself feel at ease that I am still a contributor to my society, that what I do is important and that I'm doing it right and that I don't need to work harder at it or less hard at it. And watching that documentary really relaxed me because Woody Allen has haunted me a long time, because I always think like, Jesus Christ, how do you do what he does?
Well, you said to me recently that there might be some money coming in on syndication, and if you ever got that money coming in, that you would stop writing. You said this before, that you might retire, you would never work again, you would just do that. But I don't imagine that you would be able to do that.
I don't think I would.
Yeah. So you say that, but that's...
Well, I say that because I feel like I'm trying to win some game against people that I hate. Like, I'm rich and I won't care, but I'll always care. I was like, yeah, I'll die like writing the worst shit I've ever written. I'm all fucked up. Don't say aw.
No, if they're gonna say aw, that's when they should say it.
I will be 70 years old if I'm lucky, and I'll just be working on some fucking piece of garbage. Like, I'll just be trying to prove that I'm trying to untie some knot in my head of like how you're supposed to make yourself happy. I just talked to Mitch Hurwitz about this, name drop. I was on the set of Arrested Development and met Mitch Hurwitz, and he said so many things that I had been thinking, which it was such a great thing to hear him say it. And one of the things that we talked about was the fact that when we make things, we're trying to entertain everyone in the world. We're not ever, ever, ever trying to exclude anybody. But the only way you could possibly ever stand a chance of entertaining everybody is if you're entertaining yourself. There's no, otherwise you're a hack. You don't say, well, people like Got Milk. That's a funny joke. So if you say Got Milk, then everyone will laugh. That's what I've learned. And you're not laughing the whole time. It's like, it's garbage. It's hackery. And it works for some people because they get lucky, because there's only so much shit to watch out there. But the truth is, if you really want to make people happy, you have to know who you are and what you want and express it and make yourself laugh if you're doing comedy. And then it's your tough luck if only 3 million people like it as opposed to 18 million people. Mitch Hurwitz was exactly the same as me, going like, I wish everybody liked everything that I did. I really do. But he's not gonna change what he does, because then what would he be doing? He'd be writing like an animated penguin movie. It would be terrible. It would be worse than an animated penguin movie that you like. Like, there's one that you like, and it was written by a guy who was operating at the top of his game. He woke up with a boner for animated penguins. Mitch Hurwitz would be slumming it and like betraying you. You'd be watching a liar lie. And so he has to do what he has to do at the top of his RPMs and just like be bummed out. What were we talking about? Infidelity?
Yeah.
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen. Oh, Woody Allen. Yes, Woody Allen. Yeah, so whatever. It relaxed me a lot to watch that documentary. Those were my thoughts. I had a lot of thoughts. Aaron and I talked about Woody Allen for a long time. Aaron's observation was like, yeah, it's like he's a jazz musician? on top of all this.
Yeah.
Like, he has this weird disconnection where he's able to focus on people, but he doesn't work with the actors. He just casts people like they're crayons in a crayon box. He doesn't even talk to them. And then he sends them a script and says, you can do the lines the way I wrote them or don't. And if anyone else said that, they'd be full of shit. You know, they'd be just saying that because he really means it. He doesn't give a fuck if you do the script or not. He's Woody Allen and he doesn't care if you do his script. And then he gets the actor, he's on the set and he described it as like, he's like, the people do the take, you know, and you say cut and then they look at you like, you know, did I do a good job? And of course you can't stare at them all day, so you have to say something. So you say, that was fine. It's like, that's a person talking that's like, people are mannequins to him. They're like he's just playing a video game where everyone is like an obstacle to get past so that he can do what he wants to do. He's just playing Grand Theft Auto and his goal is to make the most movies ever, which is great. You can emulate yourself, but you like the relieving thing is that no, his brain is shaped different. You can't. You got to do what you want to do. He's doing what he wants to do.
So what's the difference of the shape of your brain that makes you do what you do well?
Mine's shaped like a planet. And it has beautiful clouds. I don't know.
What would be your crowning achievement? Is there such a thing? Is it something you'd want? Like, would you like, you know, best screenplay or something like that? Or?
Yeah. Best original screenplay Oscar. That would be, if I got that, then it would be hard to get up the next day. I would probably play a lot of Minecraft after I got. I would be like, okay, what am I, you know, like,
do you think
like
you have
come on, let's go on a hike. Yeah, can I hike my way to another one of these motherfuckers? How about more chocolate pudding?
Will you endeavor to do that? What, do you think? Like, there was,
yeah, I want to.
There was times, you know, Dan and I were friends, and you know, like years ago, when he was broke or I was broke, and we're both helping each other out and stuff like that, and like, and you have these script ideas, like, and there was times when you seemed like more of a feature writer than a TV writer.
That's why I came out here. I didn't even know you could write TV. Like most of us, I thought the people on TV were making it up. You just kind of felt that when you watched TV. You're like, oh, Alan Alda's hilarious in the Korean War. Why is he? He should do more stuff. He's great. Jerry Seinfeld's like, whoa, what a great observation about socks. Why didn't they think of putting him with Kramer for a long time ago? You just kind of have that feeling about TV. It doesn't feel like it's written if it's good. And the TV I fell into on accident. I wanted to write movies. I wanted to write books. I always wanted to be legit. Don't quote me, man, because I said shit. Easy E. So look him up. Died of AIDS. Jumped off the bridge of AIDS. In.
You know, Phyllis Diller, whom I love, she died today, right? And she was 95, and she died in her sleep. And whoever found her, like, it was one of her children. So someone came into the house and found her, and she had a smile on her face.
Oh, come on!
And I was like, that's how you fucking do it.
Why can't we all live to between 70 and 90, and just turn to dust? Why does it always have to be like his heart did this and his liver did that and his lung had this thing and then he had a complicated thing and it's such a bummer.
I met Phyllis Diller after a show at the Improv. I think she was 89 and she put down in my presence 4 pretty big beef eater gin martinis and she was just solid as a rock. And also I was on stage for a while, so she might have had a couple in there. And she had a diamond the size of like a billiard ball. Apparently that was worth like just $1 zillion. And she's quite wealthy. She'd done very well for herself and she was one of the first female comedians that like made it like possible for women. And she was just like this beautiful, and she made her whole career about being ugly, but she really wasn't. She was really beautiful. She was very pretty. And and she was 37 years old when she started. She had 5 kids or something like that. She was a housewife, and she was 37 years old when she started her career. And she died a beloved, amazing person at 95 years old with a fucking smile on her face. It made me so happy and also wistful and sad all day long. I think that put me in a very strange mood today. I was like you couldn't do it any better than that. I don't think.
Well, Tony Scott put me in a strange mood. I'm not gonna blah. Obviously, my relationship with pink hair is what really set things off. But the Tony Scott thing put me in a bad mood because it reminded me of Spalding Gray, and it reminded me of Hunter Thompson. I don't like suicides. It makes me very uncomfortable because I feel like I'm a very weak person, and I feel like if I get sick, and it's rumored that you look for reasons with this stuff. I want to know, why did Tony Scott do this? I heard the rumor that he had terminal brain cancer. I don't know if that's still a rumor.
Does anybody out there know?
Still a rumor. But I that makes me very uncomfortable because it feels too close to home. It feels too close to some hypothetical home. I feel like I wouldn't have the strength to endure hardship. I told on Friday the story of me calling an ambulance because I had too much coffee. I was miserable. I would say I'm a pretty cut off your nose despite your face guy. I'm a pretty like fuck you if you don't want me kind of guy.
If a guy makes a joke about the party being over, you know, it's...
yeah, I might just to teach him a lesson, just blow my brains out. That's a joke. If you get diagnosed with a terminal illness, just to walk around with that, pick your time. Hey, can I get a loan? I just want to get a loan at this bank.
Got milk?
just to teach one person an invaluable lesson. Shoes untied, bro. Oh, really? Well, then fuck it.
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody. You guys have been wonderful, as always. Oh, shit. I always forget. Let me find the thank yous. Nobody go anywhere. Keep clapping. It's fun.
We have people to thank.
Sorry, I want to thank again Katie Levine, our audio recording. What's your name, a new ticket? Kyle Clark, I believe he says his name, for having us on sec. Emily Gordon, producing the live show. Daniel Kramer, program director. Dustin Marshall, podcast producer. Mo Fathelbab, on-site director. And Jenny Fine, our artist. Thank you so much for coming down again. Thank you, Nerd Melt Theater.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Pink Hair. Thank you, Levi.
Thank you, Pink Hair. Thank you, Levi.
Thank you, Adam. And, of course, Spencer, our dungeon master.
Thank you,
to the
Spencer.
Stars.
Who else did we abuse? Anybody? No? All right.
Good night, all.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
It's the Starburns Industry.